Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast. We're online at soundcheck.org.
I want to hold your hand.
Weekend marked the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' first television performance here in the States. They were on the Ed Sullivan Show on February 9th, 1964, and the next two Sundays as well, and our nation hasn't been quite the same since. But today, we thought we'd take a look at the Beatles on the big screen. And joining me are Kristen Meinzer and Rafer Guzman, co-hosts of the Takeaways Movie Date podcast. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks, John.
So, we're talking about the Beatles on TV these days because of the 50th anniversary. That's pretty obvious. What about the Beatles' impact on the silver screen in film?
Well, I think you can't really you can't underestimate the impact of some of those early Beatles movies, particularly something like Hard Day's Night, which just really gave you such a great flavor of the way the Beatles interacted, the way they behaved, their energy, this youth that they had.
I can hear eyebrows being raised all over the place, though, from skeptics, Kristen, who think the Beatles as actors, as people with an impact on film?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the big challenges with the Beatles, much like any big star like Elvis or Oprah, somebody whose personality is so huge and who's known as that icon, it's sometimes hard to separate them from being an icon to being an actor, which I think is one of the reasons why these Beatles movies, they're usually themselves.
Well, that seems to be quite the point of it, wasn't it?
That's true. I mean, that's true. It's not that any of the Beatles ever wound up being actual actors the way that someone like David Bowie or Frank Sinatra wound up doing. But you know, to give you a sense of just what they were like and what it would be like to kind of hang out with the Beatles, those early films are really great.
Now, A Hard Day's Night, how long after these historic Ed Sullivan appearances did people first get a chance to see Hard Day's Night?
Well, Hard Day's Night was in 1964, I think it was.
Same year,
right. And I think, you know, Beatlemania was kind of cresting at the time. And you can see it in the way that they're being chased by all the girls down the street. Wherever they go, they have to break into song, obviously. It's all very, very early music video with Hard Day's Night.
And how did it do with the critics?
I think the critics liked it okay. I mean, I think it was not it was clearly not a movie in the way that maybe you would expect when you were going in. But it was also the kind of film that I think there was something irresistible about it. Even though it was clearly a marketing ploy, mm-hmm. it was so easy to fall in love with these guys. And there was something about, even though they were, you know, all singing together on the, you know, on a railway car, suddenly with great orchestration and beautiful production behind them, you kind of forgave that for them, you know, anyway.
So this is from the very beginning of the film, where the Beatles have just outrun a bunch of crazy female fans and hopped on a train, and they're talking about Paul's grandfather, who has unexpectedly joined them.
Well, my mother thought the trip would do him good.
How's that?
He's nursing a broken heart.
Ah, poor old thing. Hey, mister, are you nursing a broken heart? He's a nice old man, isn't he?
He's very clean.
Hello, grandfather.
Hello.
He can talk then, can he?
Of course he can talk. He's a human being, isn't he?
Well, if he's your grandfather, who knows?
But I love that.
That is the least convincing laugh I have ever heard.
I think that's what they call a stage laugh there. But you can hear too in there the whole, you know, younger generation versus older generation tension that I think, you know, made the Beatles so great. There's another great scene with an old stuffy British passenger who says, you know,
"Don't take that turn with me, young man. I fought the war for your sort.
I bet you saw you won."
They're not actors, really. I mean, they're not even good at acting as themselves.
I might kind of disagree. I really think in Hard Day's Night and Help, they're two early films, I think they really have a great chemistry and a great rapport together. And even though they're kind of a little bit following a script, a little bit ad-libbing, they all have a real charisma and a real chemistry that I think mm-hmm. comes off the screen. And, you know, even George gets the quiet one gets a few lines in here and there. But I think they're actually quite good as themselves. That's just me.
All right. But with Help, 1965 movie, the premise here is the boys all live in one house. The joke is they each have separate doors to get in.
Yes.
And this is a clip from that early film from the Beatles.
Hey, someone's got a hold of me finger. Are you trying to attract attention again? She's pulling us. Ow! Ow! She had me finger, you know.
Stop trying to drag things down to your own level. It's immature, son.
I thought, well, you know, I thought she was a sandwich. Till she went spare on me hand.
Help.
You sound unimpressed, John. You sound unimpressed.
You know, you can almost tell when they're actually reading lines.
Yes.
I mean, it does sound like they're a little more stilted in some lines than others when they're allowed to ad lib. But the thing is, and we see it later with a Magical Mystery Tour.
Mm-hmm.
It's this kind of sense of the absurd. I mean, you said before it wasn't like a movie. So
right.
What was it?
Help? Yeah. Well, I think Help actually was their attempt to be something more of a movie,
more literally narrative.
Yes, yeah, it had an actual plot. You hear, you might hear Ringo talking about his finger there, and he's talking about a ring that's gotten trapped on his finger. It's a ridiculous plot. You know, there's some bad guys. Leo McKern plays one of the bad guys. Eleanor Braun, great British comedian, are trying to get Ringo, and I think they're going to hold some kind of crazy sacrifice that's going to do something, and you know, so it's a ridiculous plot, but and I think critics liked it a little bit less than Hard Day's Night, perhaps for that reason.
And yet they were very effective as promotional tools for the respective records.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, all of them, Hard Day's Night, Help, Yellow Submarine, Magical Mystery Tour, which was a television movie.
Right.
The movie was – that was really the Beatles' first big misstep, and that was the first time that the critics actually came out and said, hey, this stinks.
There's no business like show business. There's no business I know. Everything about it's so appealing.
Because you're the Beatles doesn't mean you can do anything you want. But the record is still great, I think. I love that record.
Yeah, I do too.
I am he as you are, he as you are me, and we are all together. See how they run like pigs from a gun, see how they fly.
We're talking about the Beatles, not on disc necessarily, and not even on TV, though we've been talking a lot about that with the 50th anniversary of the Ed Sullivan shows this month. But we're talking with Kristen Meinzer and Rafer Guzman about the Beatles on film here in the Soundcheck studio. Did either of you grow up watching these movies? I mean, were they available to watch other than, you know, 1964 in a movie theater?
I mean, I had to go seek them out as a kid. I have a recollection, though, of seeing some of these things on television. Yellow Submarine, perhaps, on
well,
television.
Well, yeah, I remember seeing that on TV,
yeah,
too. Yeah,
but that was back in the day when you had to go seek that stuff out.
We all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine. Yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine. Yellow submarine.
Same for me. I think Yellow Submarine on TV was pretty much the limit of it. For me, the Beatles were always a soundtrack, not just in my household, but in the movies. And that's why they're really important to me, partly, you know, just to listen to. But they add so much to the movies that they're in.
Well, now, you know, here's that's kind of surprising because the Beatles have been very reticent about letting their music out there for that sort of thing.
Absolutely. They have. But that doesn't mean the music doesn't get used. It gets remade a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
So actual Beatles recordings, not so much, but Beatles songs being covered. Give me an example, Kristen, of a movie where the soundtrack is Beatles songs maybe being covered by great singers, great artists?
Well, there are a few of them, and usually the reason why you have a whole soundtrack of remakes versus a whole soundtrack of Beatles songs is, as you were saying, it's not easy to get the rights to those songs, but Sean Penn tried to get the rights to all the songs for his movie I Am Sam back in 2001. That's the movie where he plays a developmentally disabled father. His daughter, played by Dakota Fanning, who's 7 years old, is possibly going to be taken away from him, and how do we deal with the simpleton on the surface versus the complex feelings that are underneath? Those great Beatles pop songs, which I think just mirror all of that. Mm. And he didn't want to have covers, but in the end he had to because he couldn't get the rights. And the covers, I think, turned out beautifully. They're just fantastic. One of my favorite songs is by Rufus Wainwright. He does a version of Across the Universe that is just so stunningly, achingly beautiful. And again, like the main character in the movie, looks simple on the surface, but so intricate underneath.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither while they pass, they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my open mind, possessing and caressing me. Jai Guru Deva. Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world.
That is Rufus Wainwright in his version of the Beatles' Across the Universe, used in the 2001 movie I Am Sam. We're speaking with Kristen Meinzer and Rafer Guzman, co-hosts of the Takeaways Movie Date podcast, about the Beatles on and in film, either on in their own movies, as with Hard Day's Night and Help, or their songs coloring other people's movies. That's a really beautiful arrangement.
Isn't it unbelievable? Mm-hmm. That soundtrack is incredible. I highly recommend folks listen to it. There's Ben Folds on it, The Vines. Like, you wouldn't believe the talent that's on here, Amy Mann.
And you know, there is something to be said for other people doing Beatles songs, because those original recordings are so iconic that they're sort of monolithic. You know, there's not much that you can do with them. They just are what they are. Whereas somebody else singing a song kind of...
It brings something completely different to it, completely different. When you hear that Rufus Wainwright version of Across the Universe, it's very haunting, I think.
Kristen, is it true that you are not a fan of the film American Beauty?
It is really one of the most overrated films of all time.
Wow.
I just think it's a bunch of garbage.
Man.
So derivative. Seems about 10 years too late with all of these breakthrough ideas in the film. I really just think that I don't understand why it's considered a great film. I have no idea of why.
Is there nothing in the movie that has any redeeming quality for you?
Okay, so I know what you're trying to do here, John. I know what you're trying to do with me. You're trying to bring up Elliot Smith and his cover of a Beatles song and his version of Because. Of course it's going to be great. Of course it's going to be moving because it's Elliot Smith and it's the Beatles together. And the Beatles are sometimes used as emotional manipulative shorthand in a movie, and I'm usually fine with that. This movie is so awful. This is probably the only good thing about this movie is this song in this film.
Because the world is round, it turns me on. Because the world is round. Because the wind is high, it blows my mind. Because the wind is high.
is new. Love is all, love is you.
From the soundtrack to the movie American Beauty, which two of the three of us think is a beautiful movie and one of us is rather more curmudgeonly about.
I like to think a critical thinker.
Elliott Smith's version of the Beatles' Because. Kristen Meinzer, Rafer Guzman, co-hosts of the Takeaways Movie Date podcast. Now, there is an upcoming Brian Epstein biopic. Brian Epstein, of course, the Beatles' longtime manager. And word on the street is that this will be the first feature film to actually use Beatles recordings. Not just Beatles songs, but actual Beatles recordings. Mm. The movie's going to be called The Fifth Beatle. You know, we had the subject of the documentary Good Old Frida, their longtime secretary on Soundcheck, and they actually got, like, permission to use two songs, which was a big deal.
Right.
So the idea of a feature film, Kristen, with actual Beatles recordings, is that something to look forward to, or
I just think it's such a peculiar curiosity at this point. We've spent 50 years not having that, and I'm going to be curious to see what that's going to feel like or look like. But as you were saying earlier, these songs are just they're like monuments in and of themselves. So is that going to actually detract from the movie in any way? Are we going to suddenly be taken outside of the story because we're going to be in that reverie in that moment with the Beatles songs? I'll be curious to see how it feels.
Yeah. Well, of course, this is one movie that where
it makes sense in this movie, actually.
It won't actually take you out of the story. It's just will it deflect attention from the so-called Fifth Beatle, which is the title of the film?
I think it'd be very difficult not to have the Beatles music in that. I think it would be weirder to not have it in a film like that, you know?
Well, that's down the road. At the moment, we're in the midst of the 50th anniversary run of the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, and we've taken a little time out from the small screen to look at the Beatles on the big screen with Kristen Meinzer and Rafer Guzman, co-hosts of the Takeaways Movie Date podcast. Kristen and Rafer, always great to have you guys with us on Soundcheck.
Thanks, John.
Always great to be here.
I give her all my love.
Soundcheck is a production of WNYC in New York. Find out more about our show at soundcheck.org or just download the new WNYC mobile app. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.
I love her.